Dear Bilkington, I arrived 5 days ago to the west of Ireland after a 10-hour journey from Dublin. You were right to think that this might be a mistake. Since my arrival, I have seen nothing but a blasted fog. I am hoping it clears soon so that I might see the seabirds. So far, they exist only as cries. But perhaps this gray stillness is to my advantage. With nothing else to see, a mind can look only to itself. The cottage I am staying in is small and clean, and the furniture is adequate. I have a wooden chair to sit on, and for a desk, a simple kitchen table. I have my work spread out before me. The philosophical investigations. The typescript, the notes, the paper, the pen, and the ink. I have to believe I will do serious work here. Mysteriously, upon my arrival, my watch has ceased to function, and Din Joe, a local man who is looking after me, has promised to provide me with a clock. He is a strange man, this Din Joe. But perhaps we are all strange to each other. Yours ever, Ludwig Wittgenstein.
I have your messages, Professor.
Messages?
Messages. Oatmeal. A few hen's eggs. A bit of fish. Bream. A loaf peg corch. That's the wife. A loaf peg corch baked. A knob of butter. Some spuds. Do you need tea? I'll leave you a pinch. Where'll I put them? I'll have to take the basket with me. 'Tis Peg Corch's, that's the wife. And I have the clock you asked for.
There on the table will do for now.
Grand so. You'll mind the clock. You won't break it, I mean.
Is it fragile?
Ah, no. You could hit it with a hammer. It's a sturdy yoke, but it's delicate in parts, like myself.
And does it keep good time?
I don't know the answer to that, Professor, but there's a powerful noise of it.
P.S. He tells me he is known locally as Bald Din Joe, but he is not bald. He has more hair than I do. And while I would like to know the reason, I discover I am not inclined to inquire. I plan to be here for some time, and if the fog lifts, I will ask this Bald Din Joe to take me out on a boat, the better to see the seabirds.
I see you have no fire lit.
No.
You can't make tea with no fire lit.
I cannot think in the presence of a fire.
Can you not? I do think some of me best thinking in front of a fire.
It is not possible to think in front of a fire. The warmth is a narcotic, the flicker of the flames a distraction.
Is that so, Professor? I can't think without a warm fire. Or I can think without a warm fire, but without a warm fire, all I can think about is a nice warm fire.
What must it be like to be a person who says whatever he likes? Is his world not equally chaotic? Perhaps, therefore, saying whatever one likes is a response to a world which behaves however it likes. A dreamer, for example, might speak in a dream the strangest things as a response to the strangeness of a dreamed world.
Out walking, Professor.
Yes.
I seen you out walking, and I said to myself, there's the Professor out walking.
I am thinking.
I find the walking is great for the thinking.
It was, yes.
And what do you make of our little corner of the world?
It is ugly.
How can you say that? Look at the sea.
I cannot see the sea.
Ignore the fog, Professor. If you only look at what's there, you'll miss the whole show.
What show? What are you talking about?
Don't look at the fog. Look at the sea beyond the fog.
I see only gray.
Look with your ears, Professor.
What, for example, are we to make of the proposition, look with your ears? As an instruction, it cannot be followed. One cannot look with one's ears. But if we ask the speaker what he means by the expression, we are only confusing matters further. So, there is something other than language at work here. But how and with what exact instruments are we to calibrate this something other than language? There was a goat at my door this morning.
A goat?
No, not a goat, a sheep, der Schafbock, a male sheep.
A ram?
Yes, a ram, with antlers.
What color was it?
This is significant.
Well, if it was a brown ram, it was Kennedy's. If it was a whitish-looking animal, it was McMahon's. If it was a black ram, it was probably Swaney's. Although it couldn't have been Swaney's. Swaney's owl ram is dead 6 months.
But what does one do?
Do, Professor?
When one's egress is confounded by a sheep, a goat, a ram, what does one do?
And would he not budge when you asked him to budge?
It did not occur to me to speak.
Well then, to be fair, he couldn't have known he was in the way. And it's horns a ram has, Professor, not antlers. Horns.
I had a dream about your professor.
What kind of dream?
I dreamed he was out on a boat beyond the harbour. And what does he do? Only thrown himself out of the boat.
And then what happened?
He has the head of a man with darkness in a dingo. And don't be slurping the tea.
He's a philosopher, and I wasn't slurping.
He wouldn't be the first man to come here, to the west of the world, and thrown himself over the edge.
It's you has the darkness in the head, Peg Koch.
Why else is he here, tell me?
For the bit of pace and cuteness.
To find pace and cuteness, a man needs to know pace and cuteness. And that man, did I tell you I seen him the other day and him arguing with a tray?
What tray was this?
The tray that looks like an owl man, with his head bent and his branches in the air. An owl falling down tray and him knocking the leaves off us with a stick and roaring.
What was he roaring?
'Twasn't foreign.
And was I in your dream at all?
Tell me, what would you be doing in me dream? Don't I have me fill of you be day? I've not dreamed of you since before we was married. And before we was married, I didn't dream of you neither. And don't be slurping the tea.
It's you is slurping, Peggy Koch.
Lässt sich versagen und woran man nicht reden kann darüber.
Professor!
What?
It's only myself, Professor. Dingo.
What?
I heard shouting.
Yes.
Is there something the matter, Professor?
I do not understand language.
Sure no one does, Professor.
But I have dedicated my life to it.
Have you?
And what is it?
I'm sure I don't know, Professor. Is it words, Professor?
Words alone are not language.
Are they not?
Of course not.
You need a bit of fresh air, Professor.
See? Why do you say that? Why did you choose those words? You don't mean I need some fresh air.
I thought I did. Would you not sit down, Professor?
What was going through your head when you uttered the words, you need some fresh air?
I wouldn't swear anything was going through my head, Professor.
Is it not the case that you were telling me in a roundabout manner that I need to take a break from my work? That the quality of the air is neither here nor there?
I don't know anything about the quality of the air. Do you mind if I sit down? This owl chair has seen better days.
By air, you mean atmosphere.
If you say so, Professor.
I don't say so. You say so. How can we know what you are saying if you don't know what you are saying?
Do you not know what I'm saying?
I do know what you are saying. That is why I am alarmed. Somehow you convey to me a meaning without yourself knowing what you are saying.
Ha! Fair play to me.
You are not alarmed?
I might be if I understood the half of it.
So you don't understand either side of this conversation, mine or your own?
And yet, here we are, chatting away. Would you not like to sit down? I'm getting a reel in my head watching you.
I do not wish to sit down. How can you sit there and participate in a conversation without understanding any of it?
Practice, Professor. Practice. You say something, and then I say something, and then you say something. What more is there to it?
Then you agree that words alone are not language.
Do I?
For you, it is the saying, not what is said.
I wouldn't rule out the words entirely, Professor. I like words.
You like words?
I do. Some of my favorite things is words.
Some of his favorite things is words.
I had a great chat all together with the professor. It was all about language.
Language? What do you know about language?
Don't I speak it every day?
You do? Through your hat? What do you want for your tea?
I don't care.
Fine! You can eat words and you can chew on language.
Do we have spuds?
There they are. Look. They won't pale themselves.
I'll eat them in their skins. Do we have butter?
Get up off your arse and look. Language. Do you know what language is? It was invented by men for to order women around.
When do I order you around?
If you don't order me around, it's because you know I'd hit you over the head with the narrow end of an axe.
Oh, you're a terrible woman to be threatening her husband and him doing nothing but introducing some language into the house. Like onomatopoeia. Now there's a word to conjure with. Do you know the word, Professor? Onomatopoeia.
Yes, I know the word.
I could say it all day. Onomatopoeia. Lovely. It's a lovely, roundy word.
A roundy word?
Roundy. It puts me in mind of roundy things. Like balls or bubbles. It might be because of the roundy O's in it. Onomatopoeia. Do you follow me?
To my horror, I do follow you.
And do you know what it means, Professor?
Of course I know what it means.
Its meaning is better nearly than its roundiness nearly. It means splash and cuckoo and buzz
and hiss.
It most certainly does not mean splash and cuckoo and buzz and hiss.
Ah, it does, Professor. And sizzle. Isn't that another great word? Sizzle. You can almost smell the sausages in the pan. Sizzle.
Splash and cuckoo and buzz and hiss are examples of onomatopoeia.
And sizzle.
Yes, and sizzle. But the word onomatopoeia does not mean splash and cuckoo and buzz and hiss or sizzle.
Crash is another one. And bong, like a bell. Bong, bong, bong.
Bong.
That's the spirit, Professor. Bong.
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 Bong. Perhaps this is what conversation is. Two bells ringing, each in turn.
And have you noticed, Professor? It's another roundy word. Bong.
Bong.
It's good for the soul to say roundy words, Professor. Bong.
Whisht. Do you hear it?
Isn't that fear strange?
A coincidence.
We're here bonging away and then bong, bong, bong. A real bell. Maybe the bell heard us bonging and wanted to have it say.
And what is it saying?
Can you not hear it, Professor? It's saying bong, bong, bong.
Dear Bilkington, have you ever tried to converse with an Irish man? It is like playing tennis with an opponent who might return your serve or who might instead pluck the ball out of the air and gnaw on it. They do not seem to understand or care to understand what language is. I cannot decide in this mad country if I am going mad or not. In order to know if I am going mad, I need to measure myself against sanity. But where on this grey island is such a thing to be found? Tomorrow I will ask Dinjo to take me out on a boat. Perhaps it will help. Yours ever, Ludwig Wittgenstein.
He's asked me to take him out on a boat.
Who has?
Who do you think? The professor.
Well, I hope you said no.
Sure, how could I say no?
He has no business on a boat.
He wants to see the seabirds.
He wants to what?
To identify them.
To do what to them?
To tell them apart.
He can't tell the birds apart. Are they stuck together in a ball?
No, no. He likes to know which is which.
Which is which what?
Each owl gull has a name. Did you not know that, Pegcotch? Each owl gull has a name.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph, would you listen to him? What? Tell me. What does he want to know an owl gull's name for? Is he writing a letter to one of the gulls and he's worried he might get the name wrong and the letter will go to another gull entirely? And have you forgotten me, Drame?
It was only a dream.
Only a dream? Only a dream?
I'm sorry I said it.
What do you know about dreams?
I said I'm sorry, Pegcotch.
Maybe you know where they come from. Maybe you know what they mean. Maybe you know how come I dreamed the professor threw himself out of a boat before ever there was talk of a boat.
Dreams is one thing. The world is another.
Oh, listen to me now, Baldinjo. Between the world and dreams, there is less than a curtain of no thickness at all. And sometimes I do think it's more like the old chicken and her egg. Doesn't the world make dreams? And dreams make worlds? And other times again, I think they're one and the same. Or the world is a dream itself.
Dreams is your department, Peg Koch.
And you were the fool going out in a boat.
I was not in your dream.
You're in no dream of mine.
And won't I be in the boat with the professor? So your dream is wrong.
Dreams are not wrong. Dreams are not right either. Dreams is dreams. They answer to no one.
What kind of birds are those?
Which birds now, Professor?
Those.
They're only owl gulls.
Yes, but what kind of gulls?
How many kinds are there?
On the Irish coast, you have the common gull and the herring gull, that's two. The lesser black-backed gull, three. The Iceland gull, the glaucus gull, the little gull, that's four, five, six. I know I'm forgetting a great many. Oh, Sabine's gull, seven. And the black-headed gull, eight.
That's a lot of gulls.
Oh, there are more. The ring-billed gull, nine. And I believe the Mediterranean gull has visited Irish shores. That's 10. And oh, that bird is a black-legged kittiwake.
Is it not a gull?
Oh, it is a gull, but it's not called a gull. It's a black-legged kittiwake.
Which one is it?
That one, over there, near the rocks.
The one that looks like an owl gull?
Yes.
Peg Koch, that's the wife. Peg Koch doesn't have a lot of time for birds. Except hens. But hens aren't birds.
Hens are not birds?
You only have to look at a hen to know it's not the same thing as a gull.
Ah, but there are certain resemblances, certain family resemblances.
I don't know anything about family resemblances, Professor.
No? Why do they call you Bald Dingo? You are not bald.
I have a fine head of hair, buicus legia. They call me Bald Dingo for to tell me apart from the other Dingoes.
There are other Dingoes?
Sure, half the parish is Dingo. There's, let's see, there's Lame Dingo, and Red Dingo, and Strange Dingo, and Crooked Dingo, and Poor Dingo. And odd Dingo.
But Dingo ceases to act as a name if, as you say, half the parish is Dingo. It designates no one in particular.
And there's my son, Dingo.
You named your son Dingo?
He's named after my father, Dingo.
Is there anyone named anything else hereabouts?
Of course there is, Professor. The other half of the parish is Peg Koch.
It is very beautiful.
What is?
The sea, the harbour, the mountains. It is strange. I see beauty more clearly when I'm looking back at it. When I'm in it, I can see nothing of the sort. Perhaps to see beauty, we must step back, like a painter stepping back from his easel.
It'd take some easel to accommodate the likes of that. And you'd need paintbrushes as big as these oars. And I'd like to see the tubes of paint you'd need. Can you imagine, huh? Can you imagine, Professor? It'd be a big job, paint and the likes of that.
Do you say these absurd things because they amuse you, or is there another reason?
I don't know what you mean, Professor.
Ah. I understand absurdity. I am prone to it myself. And you are right to deflate my enthusiasm. Seeing beauty and describing it poorly, as I was doing, is the task of a mediocre poet. We should remain silent.
I wasn't trying to deflate your anything, Professor. I wasn't thinking at all.
We should remain silent.
Ignore me, Professor, especially when I'm talking. I'm liable to say anything. Peg Koch, that's the wife. Peg Koch is always telling me, say nothing and keep saying it. What are you doing, Professor?
I wish to look around.
It's not a good idea to stand in a small boat.
The shadows of the clouds moving across the sea. It is pure geometry.
Sit down, Professor.
The flat expanse of the sea, a Euclidean plane. Of course, it's not flat, strictly speaking.
Please, Professor.
There is something diagrammatic about the shadows of the clouds and the sea.
I won't be responsible.
Like stains on a page. You tried to push me out of the boat.
It was into the boat I was trying to push you.
That makes no sense. Why are you laughing?
Because I can't swim, Professor. Any chance you might pull me in, Professor?
I prefer this arrangement. Hold on to the oar while I think.
Could you maybe think later, Professor? The water is cold and I'm not as young as I was.
Sir, if you believed a man attempted to throw you overboard, would you fish him out of the sea so that he might try again?
We have our wires crossed, Professor. I thought you were going to do away with yourself.
And what made you think such a thing?
Well, Peg Koch, that's the wife. Peg Koch had a dream.
What were ye talking about before he thrown you in?
The professor was explaining that hens aren't birds. They're more like family.
That's true. I've often said the same thing myself, especially a good hen. A good hen has lovely manners. She patters around the yard like a grandmother or an aunt, maybe. A spinster aunt keeping herself busy is what a good hen is. And then he thrown you in?
He did.
Well, it's your own fault for not listening to me.
You dreamed he thrown himself in. There was no talk of me being thrown in.
Going out on a boat with a man like that. It's lucky he wasn't killed, you were. And do you know what else I think?
No, and don't tell me.
I think he's related to the gulls.
Here.
It's only come to me now, this minute. Gulls is his family. You said so yourself.
I said no such thing, Peg Koch.
And doesn't he have the eyes of a gull?
He does have fierce eyes.
He does, of course. And why else would a grown man go out in the sea to look at the gulls?
I don't know, Peg Koch, but I don't think the professor is a seagull.
I'm not saying he's a gull.
Well, that's good.
I'm saying gulls is his people.
Dear Bilkington, as you may have heard, I have left the west of Ireland. Left it where it belongs. In dreams, or observed from a great distance. Perhaps in the pages of a novel. Left it, in any case, where it can no longer confound my egress like a goat. Yours ever, Ludwig Wittgenstein. P.S. In my haste to leave, I took with me a clock that was not mine to take. But it is not a clock. It is a... I do not know what to call it. It is a clock-like object. It makes clock-like noises, certainly, and the hands turn about the face, just like a clock. But no matter what adjustments I make to it, it does not tell the time.
he took me clock.
Don't be acting surprised.
I can't believe he took me clock.
Sure, that old clock was never right.
I like to listen to it noising. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Do you know what you call that peg cotch? Tick-tock.
I do. More shite.
Onomatopoeia. That's what you call it.
Is it only myself that's not soft in the head?
If I had to choose, I prefer the tock to the tick. Tock, tock, tock. Will I tell you why, Peg Codge? Why the tock is better than the tick?
I had another dream about your professor.
P.P.S. I had a dream last night. And I never dream. I dreamed I was flying above the west of Ireland with my arms outstretched. Down below, people were looking up at me, cheering. But I was not flying. I could not move. I was stuck to the sky like a fly stuck to a freshly painted ceiling. What looked from below like freedom and flight was, in fact, terror. I tried to call for help, but I could not speak. But I was not silent, either.
Professor, is it a professor of philosophy you are?
Yes.
And philosophy is the meaning of life and that kind of thing.
Philosophy is not the meaning of life. Unless you mean the meaning of the word life, or the work the word life does in the expression the meaning of life.
I have a good one. Listen to this now, Professor. In a forest, if a tree falls and there's no one around, does it make a racket?
What are you talking about?
Do you not get it, Professor? Listen again. If a tree falls and there's no one around, does it make a racket? Do you follow me? There's no one to hear the old tree falling.
Your reasoning is flawed.
I wouldn't be surprised. Peg Koch, that's the wife. Peg Koch says the same. Though her choice of words is more colourful.
Colourful?
Oh, all seven shades, Professor. How is the reasoning flawed?
Why shouldn't it make a racket if you propose there is a tree when no one is around?
Are you saying when no one is around, there is no tree?
I am saying you can't have it both ways. If there is a tree when no one is around and it falls, why shouldn't it make a racket? On the other hand, if it doesn't make a racket when no one is around, perhaps there is no tree.
I'm worse off now than when I started.
No. When you started, you had a problem, or thought you did. But it's not a real problem.
Sure, no one is saying it's a real problem, Professor. It's only philosophy. It's only an owl riddle. But at least I had a tray when I started, when no one's around.
No one is saying it's a real problem. It's only a philosophy. It's only an old riddle.